Hey friend, welcome to Girls Night, where we work through life's biggest decisions and transitions together. I'm your host, Stephanie Mae Wilson, and I'm so glad you're here. Let's get started. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. Friends, springtime is finally here, but that also means allergy season is in full swing. I have always struggled with allergies, and I don't know about you, but I am especially allergic to cats. More on that in a second. Well, luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. This double-action combination of prescription-strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. The time that I use Claritin the absolute most is when I'm at my parents' house, my childhood home. They have this absolutely beautiful cat that they love and I like, except for the fact that he sheds so much. So that means that I'm basically sneezing from the second I arrive home to the second I leave, unless I take Claritin. My dad has even started having it ready for me right when I walk in the door. Are you ready to live life as though you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Claritin, thank you so much for sponsoring our girls' night. We love having you. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. As many of you know, I recently wrote a book, and while it was the most rewarding project of my career so far, it also came with a lot of hard work and long nights. And sometimes when things started to feel a little bit overwhelming, I needed to get a few things off my chest so I could clear my mind and keep the writing process flowing. And the thing that helped me so much to sort through those feelings was therapy. Now tell me if any of this sounds familiar. Maybe you're going through something really hard right now, a big loss or a gigantic life transition. Maybe you frequently feel anxious, depressed, overwhelmed, or just generally discouraged. Maybe you really, really, really want your life circumstances to change, but you don't know how to actually change them. Or maybe you're feeling stuck as you try to work through your past, navigate your present, or figure out your future. Friend, if you can relate to any of this, you're not alone. I've been there, and therapy has been the thing that has helped me more than anything else with all of this. In the last 10 years or so, I've learned that strength isn't proving I can do it on my own. It's knowing that I don't have to. I'm at my strongest when I have a full support system around me, and an essential part of my support system is therapy. Therapy can be absolutely life-changing. That is, if you can afford it and find a therapist you like and trust. But of course, this is easier said than done, and that's why I'm so excited to be partnering with this week's podcast sponsor. Our sponsor for today's episode is BetterHelp. BetterHelp is the easiest and most affordable way I've ever found to find a great therapist. It's entirely online and super easy to sign up. You can get started right away, and if you don't love the counselor you're paired with, switching is easy and it's free. If you're going through something hard in your relationships, or if you're in a funk you just can't shake, if you've been feeling anxious or depressed lately, or if you're feeling stressed and you need help balancing your everyday life and schedule, BetterHelp is an incredible resource for you. And I'm so thankful that they've given me a promo code that I can share with you to make it even easier to get started. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/friendship today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/friendship. So friends, I can't believe I'm saying this, but we have officially reached launch week for my book. My new book, Create a Life You Love, comes out this week. It comes out on April 30th, 2024. this week, depending on when you're listening. And I honestly can't believe it. I've been working on this book for about 2 years now, and thinking about it and dreaming about it and sweating over it. And I mean, I just have, my thoughts have been consumed by this book for so long now. And I can't believe that it's finally time to send it out into the world. And I just can't wait. So in honor of this book and to celebrate the fact that it's finally, finally here, this is really happening, I wanted to take some time to just curl up with you guys and talk to you and to share the book with you. And actually today, I'm going to read a section of the book to you. And before I do though, I have to first apologize. If you've been following me on social media, you've seen I am sick. I've gotten better decently quickly, which I'm really grateful for, but I definitely got the worst cold this last weekend, and I still have so much of it like in my face and in my throat. And so you can probably hear that, and I'm sorry about that. Let me assure you that while my reading of this book will not be perfect, the audiobook is perfect. It's know that you will not hear this like gravelly kind of nasally situation. Oh, what a gross word. When you listen to the audiobook is perfect. But this is not perfect. And I think it's maybe better that way. If this is the first time you're hearing about Create a Life You Love, let me give you just a little bit of context for it. This book, let me get it again, is a guided journey of self-discovery, helping you take off the pressure of what you think your life is supposed to look like by now, and actually intentionally, confidently, and authentically build the life you actually want to live, a life that looks and feels like you. You can officially purchase this book wherever books are sold, and it would mean so much to me if you did. This podcast is such a gift. Everything I get to do online is such a gift. And I put my heart and soul into it. But really, this book is the thing I want to share with you more than anything else. If I could share one thing with you, it would be this book. So yeah, I really hope that you just take a quick second to go order a copy and that you read it. It would mean the world to me. And that really is because I feel like it will really, really make a difference in your life, especially if you're trying to make a big decision right now. So if you want to go ahead and pause this, you can go either to my website, go to stephaniemaywilson.com/create. All the links are there. Or you can just search for Create a Life You Love wherever you buy books, Amazon, your local bookstore, anywhere, and get it there. But go do that really quick and then come back and I'll read you some of it while you wait for it to be shipped to you. Okay? Okay. All right. Are you guys ready? Let's dive in. Get comfy. Okay. I'll read you the dedication. So it is dedicated to my mom, Dr. Nancy Mayfield. You showed me that it's possible to be a great mom and have a career you love. Thank you for being in my corner as I work to do the same. And to my daughters, Annie and Quinn, may you each create a life you love. I'll be right here cheering you on every step of the way. All right, so here is the introduction. I'll have to tell you guys sometime the full story of what it was like to record the audiobook. It was wild. It was really, really, really cool. But the process is so interesting. So that's what I'm thinking about as I'm reading this. Okay, introduction. Have you seen these? These shoes would be just perfect. The bridal shop saleswoman held up a pair of glittery bluish ballet flats that looked eerily similar to the shoes I'd worn to my freshman homecoming dance. They fit the bill, I guess. I was getting married in a garden, so I definitely needed to wear flats, and I suppose the glitter made them somewhat formal, which was good for a black tie wedding, but I honestly wasn't sure they were what I really wanted. I think I'd just be happy wearing some plain sandals, I told her. My dress is so long, you'll never see my feet. I just want to be comfortable, and I'm spending so much money on everything else, this just isn't a high priority for me. You can't get married in sandals, the saleswoman admonished. No, 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 these are perfect, she said as she pressed the shoes into my hands. These are the ones, I'm sure of it. I was glad she was sure because I certainly wasn't. I was sure that I was ready to get out of there though. My mom and I had been shopping for hours. I had been wedding planning for months. I was hungry and tired and sick of making decisions. And so even though these shoes looked nothing like me and didn't fit the way I wanted to look and feel on my wedding day, I took them to the counter and $175 later, they were mine. It's fine, I told myself. I'll get used to them. They'll be fine. But I didn't get used to them. In fact, every time I saw them taunting me from the corner of my bedroom, I disliked them even more. I was mad at these shoes, and even more, I was mad at myself. I was mad that I didn't speak up for myself, mad that I let her talk me into something I didn't want, mad that I let a stranger have so much influence over such an important day of my life. And the fact that these dumb shoes were so expensive made me feel even worse. A few days later, still mad, I called my best friend. I should just keep them, shouldn't I? The sales lady said it was weird to get married in sandals, and she's right, right? I just need to get over it. It's not like anyone will see them anyway. No, she said. Stephanie, this is your wedding day. It should look and feel like you. Who cares what this random stranger thinks is weird? If you want to get married in sandals, do it. She was right, and so I did. I returned the awful wedding shoes, spent that money instead on a gorgeous hand-stitched sash to go around my dress, and bought a pair of simple gold sandals. I felt beautiful on my wedding day, and my feet didn't hurt one bit. No regrets. I wish I could say the same for every other major life decision I've made. I wish I could say that I never again let someone else's vision for my life overpower my own. But I've done it again, more than once, and I'm sure you have too. Because if you're anything like me, it can be hard to hear your own voice, let alone trust it and follow where it leads. Or maybe part of you balks at the idea that you can, and even should, get what you want in life. We're so used to hearing statements like, life is hard, life's not fair, that's just how it is, that it can feel silly and unrealistic to think it's even possible to create a life you love, let alone that it's something you should spend time striving to achieve. We don't want to be spoiled or entitled or naive, thinking that life will always be fun and easy or expecting to get everything we want. But that's not what we're talking about here, because that's not what you're actually looking for, is it? You're not looking for a perfect life, but you are looking for a great one. You know that the best, most important things in life require grit and perseverance and courage, and you're up for the challenge. On most days, that is. You're smart and resilient. You do hard things. You're not looking for a magic pill or an instant fix, but you might need some help moving forward because sometimes you feel stuck or lost, or maybe both. You guys, I want to pause just for a second. This is so cool because I don't know how other authors do it, but when I'm editing something, I always read it out loud. And so I've read this out loud, imagining reading it to you guys like 1,000 times as I was writing it. So it's just really cool to be holding the actual book, reading the actual words, and like reading them to you for real. I really have just imagined this so many times. Okay, back in the book. Maybe you're about to have a big birthday and you're not where you thought you'd be by this point in your life. Maybe you're making a massive decision, you're swimming in lists of pros and cons and still don't know what to do. Maybe you know exactly what you want in life, but you don't know how to get it. Or maybe you have no clue what you want, but you know you don't want what you're supposed to want, and the conflict raging inside of you as a result is positively consuming. I have walked hundreds of thousands of women through some of the biggest decisions of their lives, and so I know that when you're in the middle of a major turning point, every decision feels critical. Your life feels like a carefully built but teetering tower, and you're afraid that if you breathe wrong or, heaven forbid, sneeze, you're going to send all the pieces crashing to the ground and ruin your life forever. But even more than being afraid you're going to get it wrong, you really just want to get it right. You know that you get one life, one shot, and you don't want to waste it. You want to build a life that's fulfilling. A life you're proud of. A life you're excited to wake up to every day, or at least most days. You want to make the most of your life in big, sweeping, world-changing ways, but also in the small, day-to-day, this-is-too-good-to-miss moments. You want to create a life you love, and that's a good thing. Friend, it is not silly or entitled or unrealistic to want to love your life. It's a beautiful thing to pursue a life of meaning and joy, and it's something within reach. Life is too short to wear shoes that don't fit, whether your feet, your style, or your life, especially when there are 700 gazillion other options to choose from. It's not selfish to want to find shoes that fit. In fact, it's silly not to. And the same is true about life. In some areas of your life, you get extra points for sucking it up, for accepting a difficult situation, and for making the most of it. So you push through, you endure, you stick it out, you finish the race, and you're better for it. But that's not always the case. Good things aren't always hard, and hard things aren't always good. Not every difficult and uncomfortable path has a prize at the end of it. There is simply no prize for getting married in shoes you hate. Similarly, there is no prize for dedicating your time and your energy to building a life you don't actually want to live, and thereby missing out on the life you really do want. You don't always get to choose your circumstances, of course, and we all have day-to-day responsibilities we can't neglect. But almost always, we have choices available to us that would help our lives fit us a little bit better. That's what this book is about. It's about being a good steward of the gift that is your life, about doing what you can with what you've been given. You can't control every element of your life, but there is so much you can do, and your life will be so much better if you participate in creating it. Now, let's be honest. Creating a life you love can be hard. But that's why I'm here to help. Through my podcast, and online courses, I've become a go-to guide for women in their 20s and 30s as they navigate this life's biggest decisions and transitions. Being single and navigating relationships, getting engaged and then married, pursuing a career, moving to a new city, and this is the enormous transition I've been going through lately, becoming a mom. I'm on a mission to be the person I needed when I was younger. A guide, a sounding board, and a friend who's both been where you are and gotten to where you want to go. I have walked hundreds of thousands of women through the most high-stakes, high-pressure era of their lives, and I'm here to help you too. But before we get started, I want to make you a few promises. First, I promise that this is a safe place. I want to say this right up front because making the biggest decisions of your life is, surprise, surprise, really hard. This isn't a place where you have to have it all together. This isn't a networking event, a class reunion, a first date, or a job interview. You don't have to have a polished, impressive answer to the question, so what are you going to do next? And you're not going to get a single side eye if your answer is, honestly, I have no idea. That brings us to my second promise. I promise I will not be yet another voice telling you what to do. This isn't a book about how I built a life I love and how you can build one just like it. This is a safe place to put some pieces of your own life together, not my way, but your way. Many of the people in your life will have opinions about the decisions you make. That's because they're part of your life. They have a horse in the race. Maybe they're the ones that footed the bill for the degree you may or may not end up using. Or maybe all their hopes and dreams for grandkids rest uncomfortably on your reproductive system. Or maybe their finances and future descendants aren't quite so closely tied with your life choices, but they do love you and they want the best for you. So they make sure to weigh in. The problem is, most people's definition of best sounds an awful like the decisions they made or didn't make, but wish that they had in their own lives. It's great to have an engaged support system, but it gets tricky when your support system has a clearer vision for your life than you do. I don't have a specific vision for your life. I care about you, and I care about how your life turns out, but I don't care what you decide to do. I want your life to turn out the way you want it to. And so in this book, we're going to turn down the volume on the people telling you what to do and how you should do it. And we're going to make some space for you to get quiet enough to listen to your own hopes and dreams and finally hear what you need and want. You can decide to paint your hair, your face, and every room in your house bright blue. Or you can live in a nudist colony. Are those really a thing? And spend the rest of your days as free as can be. You can be a florist in Frankfurt or a ventriloquist in Venezuela, or you can live in a high-rise in New York, have four different cell phones and constantly yell into them, buy, 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 no, sell, 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 like they do in movies. You can join the military or a monastery. You can have 12 kids or no kids. You can get married. You can be single. You can be a serial dater, or you can be in a long-term committed relationship but never walk down the aisle. I don't care what you choose. I care that you choose. My prayer is that when you finish this book, you will feel both empowered and equipped to make intentional decisions about your life so that you can live a life you're proud of and excited about, a life that looks and feels like you. Get comfy and get excited, friend. There are so many good things ahead. All my love, Stephanie Mae Wilson. I want to read a little bit more to you. You guys will have to forgive me. I'm realizing as I'm reading this, I'm like, oh, I'm still sick. I'm definitely still sick. I might take a nap after this. We'll see. Okay, here's chapter one. The unnamed decade where it all gets decided. I knew this would happen. I absolutely, positively knew this would happen. I told my mom, I called it months before. It's the reason that I requested, as she was putting together her famously elaborate Thanksgiving table, that she seat me next to literally anybody but my Aunt Sharon. I knew what Aunt Sharon would ask, and I knew it would bother me, even though I wished it wouldn't. And I didn't want to spend yet another family dinner feeling that way. But here I was anyway, my turkey-shaped place card sitting right next to, yep, my Aunt Sharon's. Mom must have forgotten, and of course, Aunt Sharon took her seat before I had the chance to make the switch. I love my Aunt Sharon, and I know my Aunt Sharon loves me, but that doesn't keep her from accidentally stomping on an emotional landmine every time I see her. Author's note. The potential subject matter for this common familial interaction may include, but is not limited to, college applications, selection of majors and minors, post-grad plans, job transitions, home purchases, dating engagements, wedding plans, fertility, timing of first, second, and all subsequent children, breastfeeding, and childcare, just to name a few. I've had to answer questions that were both pointed and public about all these topics, and I know I'm not the only one. It happened early that year. The spotlight reached me before the basket of rolls did. Aunt Sharon turned to me and in a much too loud voice asked, "So, are you seeing anyone special?" Yep, there it was. The question I'd been dreading for the last several months. I knew it was coming, but that didn't make it sting any less. The answer to her question was no, I was not seeing anyone special. I wished I was seeing someone special, but so far my love life had been a long string of almosts, not quites, and not even closes. But Aunt Sharon wasn't finished. This year she tacked on a comment I didn't see coming. "You know, you're not getting any younger. I was married with 3 kids by the time I was your age." There it was. One of the worst things you can say to a woman. My cheeks flushed hot. I was equal parts embarrassed and angry, and I willed myself not to cry. My aunt's question and follow-up comment probably seemed innocent enough to my extended family seated around the table, who would all pause their own conversations to hear my answer. Aunt Sharon wasn't trying to hurt my feelings. She was making conversation, taking an interest in my life. She cared about me. The problem was that her words reinforced the fear that genuinely kept me up at night, the fear that I spent most of my time trying to talk myself out of. I was afraid that my dreams for my life might never come true. I wasn't where I wanted to be in life. I had no idea how to move forward, and I was afraid I was running out of time. So then the heading is the decade-ish of decisions. Welcome to the decade-ish where your whole life gets decided. It's this weird, wonderful, and wildly difficult span of years, somewhere between the ages of 25 and 40-ish, during which you make the most biographically significant decisions of your life all at the same time. Who you are, what you want to do with your life, where you'll call home, who your people are, which person you'll share your life with, and whether you'll have kids. The major plot points of your life are often decided within just a few short years. The stakes are high. The things you do and don't do during this time can have a ripple effect across years and even generations, and you do not want to look back and have regrets. Everyone's experience is different, certainly, but looking back, it feels like the pressure to figure out what I wanted to do with my life really cranked up around my 25th birthday. Sure, I'd made some significant life decisions before turning 25, but it always felt like there was a little more grace around the edges, like bowling with bumpers. Some of us graduate college and step straight onto a prescribed path. We know what's expected of us and when. Whether we feel like we can meet those expectations or not is another story entirely. But for many of us, our early 20s feel a bit like we've fallen off the edge of a map. We've completed the assignment. We got the degree. We've followed a specific set of instructions for 22 whole years. And then, what comes next? Our futures are suddenly limitless and also totally our responsibility. Thankfully, society seems to view our early 20s as one long grace period. Everyone's wandering around, trying, failing, asking big questions, and taking their time to find the answers. Our early 20s are the time to backpack the world, move across the country for jobs that pay nothing, and pursue wild dreams. That's what I did anyway. Everyone's trying things out and seeing what works. It's like an Italian cooking class. There's a little too much wine and there's pasta everywhere, everyone flinging spaghetti at the wall and seeing what sticks. But overnight, all that seems to change. You wake up one day and it seems like everyone suddenly knows who they are and where they're going in life. And the second you see one person making big decisions and moving forward, it feels like you should be too. The bumpers are gone. This is your real, actual life and you have to figure it out and fast. One day you feel like you have all the time in the world, the next you're behind, and as you see more and more people getting engaged or buying houses or getting real jobs or having babies, you feel like you might just be running out of time. It's like the margin of error is thin and you really don't want to screw this up.